Cooler than hell. Dante, the world's coolest demon slayer, is back to shake down the legions of the underworld. Armed with rock star good looks and more trash-talking attitude, Dante launches into a demonic new adventure with new moves, expansive environments, and twice the sizzle of the original. This time, Dante has had a new partner in mayhem with a devilishly agile Lucia. Together, they join forces against the hordes of evil in the stylish action thriller that's cooler than hell. Well, they're very enthusiastic, aren't they?
Yeah. You gotta say the name of the game.
Oh, this is Devil May Cry 2. I'm Chris.
I'm Mike.
And this is I Love That Trash Game.
I love that terrible game.
See, he knows the name of the show. I don't. It's fine. One of us knows it.
Oh, man. Everybody loves how Dante looks. It's everybody's favorite thing.
Everybody does love how Dante looks.
I gotta tell you, I do think this is the coolest looking Dante.
I think this is the coolest coat. I think it's the coolest coat.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. It feels sleek and it feels like something like a person would actually wear in real life. Whereas all the other ones, with the exception of the one in 5, which also feels like it's just a normal coat.
Yeah.
But like the one in 3 and the one in 4 and the one in 1... feel like nobody's gonna wear those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, there's something about that weird like leather vest on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That like that the way that Dante looks, plus the fact that I'm terrible at the first one, so this one being as easy as it is
really helped you get into it, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it actually did.
The gun button is nice, you know, for when you just want to blow through the level. You just gun.
Yeah, it's I know that Devil May Cry fans, this is like universally their least favorite one, but this is the one, well, up until we got to 5, this was the one that I absolutely played the most of.
And I mean I get it, it's an easier entry point than any of the other ones, especially the ones that come after it. Like 3, 4, and 5 they're all harder to control. Because there's so much shit you can do in them.
Yeah.
And then this one is, if you really need to, you can just fall back on your guns. But you can, Devil May Cry 2, like, you can pull off crazy combos, but there's always something you can fall back on. Whereas, with the exception of 1, when you get the grenade launcher, if you have that equipped, that's a thing you can fall back on. But, like, 3 through 5, there's no fallback. I mean, there's Devil Trigger, and you can use that. But if you don't have that, and you're, like... and you misplay, that's it. That you're done.
Yeah. I mean, the people who are, like, fans of Devil May Cry and play the Devil May Cry games and are really good at it, like, there is nothing cooler than watching somebody who's, like, super good at Devil May Cry 3 or Devil May Cry 5. Like, those games, when they get going, look so cool. But there is a level of commitment to getting very good at the Devil May Cry games that I just don't have. So being able to be good at a Devil May Cry game, like, there's something to be said about that. Like, if nothing else, this game makes people who aren't good at Devil May Cry
feel like they're good at Devil May Cry.
Feel like they're good at Devil May Cry. And that's, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. Another, I like that this, so this is the first game that has a character who isn't Dante that you can play as. So from this point on, even if it's just a secret character, there's always another character to play as. So, like, in this game, you have two storylines on the two discs, which was a big thing back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with Capcom games. Capcom loves doing this. Two separate storylines because they could use the same assets.
And just put in different enemies and different... player model. But, like, so you had Dante's story, and then you had Lucia's story, and it just kind of... It's kind of like laying the groundwork for Devil May Cry 4, where you have what Nero's doing, and then Dante's doing stuff in the background, and then Dante does stuff, and Nero's doing stuff in the background. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and sort of like it's the same way with 5, when you're doing stuff with the different characters, and...
You come across them at certain points.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it...
Yeah, and that's... I mean, that is good storytelling.
I mean, it maybe wasn't executed amazingly in 2, but they tried, and it was something different, and I think it worked for the most part. It's just Dante...
It wasn't what fans were looking for.
Yeah, they were looking for more of Dante being a smartass. Instead, they got kind of mopey Dante, but still, he's still being a badass.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Honestly, yeah. The fact that it's easier than 1... always kind of made sense to me, because Dante should be more powerful than he was in the first game. You know what I mean? So he should be having an easier time.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way, but you're right. That does make perfect sense.
Like, canonically, this shouldn't... Like, Devil May Cry 2 should not be a problem for Dante. And so when you then get to 3 and it's harder again, that makes sense, because that's... Devil May Cry 3 should be hard. It's the beginning.
Yeah. It's the very beginning. Yeah, I never thought about it that way, but that's a perfectly reasonable way of looking at it.
I mean, that's the way I usually look at it. Like, I always try to, like, if I play a game and I play its sequel, and, like, if the sequel is easier, I try to, like, be like, okay, maybe this is a sequel instead of a prequel sequel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it always does sort of drive me crazy when I'm playing a sequel to a game that's a direct sequel, and the people will be like, oh yeah, you start off the game as this super powerful, you know, because you have all of your powers and weapons and gadgets from the last game, and then something stupid happens and it's like, oh, you're back to square one.
So like God of War 2.
Or like... Batman Arkham City, or, you know, any direct sequels like that. It's like, I get what you're doing from a gameplay perspective, but...
From a story standpoint, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, it doesn't. You should be more powerful in your sequel.
Yeah. In the sequel, you should... I feel like a big thing games should do is, if they make a direct sequel, the direct sequel, you should start with all your abilities... But you should just, instead of losing them and having to get them back, you should just get more abilities, like, on top of it.
Yeah. Like, again, with Batman, but Arkham Knight did that same thing. It's like, you keep your stuff, you ramp up the difficulty of the game, maybe, and get your new stuff. Yeah. But it doesn't have to, yeah, we don't always have to lose our stuff. And looking at this game, because I didn't like replay that much of it before we did this, so I'm not like super up to date on, you know, my Devil May Cry 2, but looking at it that way actually makes so much sense that I may power through the rest of it.
And I think, especially in Dante's story, it makes sense that Dante is having a breeze and he's like, maybe not really into it, because it's just another job to him. When you play Lucia's story, it is, her story is harder. It's shorter, but it's also a little harder, as it should be from a story point, because she doesn't seem to have been doing this anywhere near as long as Dante has. And it's a huge issue. So she should have a little bit harder of a time getting through the game. Like, if you spam her projectile button, they aren't anywhere as good as Dante's guns. Like, yeah, there's still a crutch you can fall back on, but she just provides more of a challenge as you go through her story than like Dante. So if you're looking for a challenge, it's still there. You just can't be Dante for it.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, because I was around. I was playing games back when these games came out. And I did play these first two, and it was a while after I played Devil May Cry 2 that I even knew that there was this backlash against it, because back then I was just like playing games. I wasn't keeping up on news. I wasn't like listening to podcasts. I wasn't reading, you know, articles and stuff. So it was just like buy the game, play the game, and then I was done with it. So I didn't even realize that people didn't like this game. But, you know, I remember liking it better back when it came out than the first one, because that first one is just, it's, again, it's so cool, but it's so freaking hard. It's almost like I didn't have the time to dedicate to the game to get really good at it. So this is no fault of the game. This is my own thing, but yeah, having an easier version of that cool game that I wanted to be good at was perfect for me.
Yeah, it let you feel like you were cool and doing cool things without the necessary, like, put in 20 hours into this game to get good at it.
No, and there's definitely cool stuff happening in this game. There's plenty of spectacle. There's plenty of, you know, snarky cutscenes. There's plenty of huge, crazy bosses. It's what you want out of a Devil May Cry game.
It's just, it's delivered differently.
Yeah, it's delivered maybe not the way that people wanted it to be, and maybe not the way it should have been. Like, there's a lot of games whose sequels, I say, you know, if this wasn't this, it would be great.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are Godzilla movies that I was like, man, this would have been fucking awesome.
If Godzilla was not the main focus.
Or if they would have made this, you know, giant lizard movie number 7, like Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
Would have been great as its own thing.
Yeah.
You know, nobody would have ever talked shit on it. And I think Devil May Cry 2 was sort of the same thing. It's just, you know, could have called it crazy action game.
Crazy starring, action gun sword man.
Yeah, starring action gun sword man. And, you know, everybody would have been like, whoa, this is so cool. It's like Devil May Cry, except it's not as fucking hard.
Yeah. And I always thought it was weird that people have a problem with the difficulty in Devil May Cry 2. Because, yes, the other ones are hard, but hard, like them being hard, wasn't really a draw until after 2. So after 2 came out and people were complaining that it was easy, part of the draw of the Devil May Cry games became how fucking, like, bone-shatteringly hard they are, especially on the higher difficulties. And it always felt weird to me because, yes, the later end of 1 is not easy, and Phantom is a fucking dick and a half, but it's not like it's, you know, mind-numbingly hard. It's just moderately hard. But then you get this shift in Devil May Cry 2 to it being, well, this is pretty easy if you want it to be easy. And all of a sudden, oh, it's not hard enough. Oh, blah, blah, blah. We it needs to be harder. And it was like, why though? You know what I mean?
Yeah, this game is definitely, I'm trying to think of divisive. How I want to put this. It's different. And back in the day, like back in the NES days, that's sort of what they did. Like Super Mario Brothers 2 here in America was that weird dream version with the 4 playable characters, and, you know, you were picking shit off of the ground. You know, they did Castlevania 2, which was like, you know, they just tried different stuff with their sequels, and nobody thought twice about it. But I guess by the PlayStation 2 era, we're looking at, you know, gamers who have been playing video games for 15 years at that point.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit more reluctant to
try
any
things,
sort of change to what they're used to. Like, I like this thing. You changed it too much, so now I don't like it as much.
Yeah.
But going back to it, I actually think it's way more palatable when you go back to it and play it sort of as a series. I have the HD remaster of the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play them in a row, I know you played them back to back on that streams on
yep.
the streams that took you forever because you're not very good at the last boss of one.
I suck at the last boss of one. Okay. I've only ever gotten to him like four times. That's how bad I am at fighting him. I'm like, I just don't want to.
but yeah, I mean, when you play it as a series, it's better now because back then also you play Devil May Cry and it's like, wow, at that point you never really saw anything like that. That's the first game that was like that. And then you got that and then you waited for the sequel and then the sequel came out and it wasn't exactly what you wanted. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be upset about it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously, like, they obviously listened to people because DMC3 came out and was much closer to DMC1 than DMC2.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they did another weird thing with 4, and...
And 4 is actually... People really like 4, which confused me, because, like you said, they did something weird with 4, just like they did with 2. But...
Yeah, they did something completely different and weird with 4, and then... I don't know. It just... 4 felt too long with all the backtracking when you're Dante. I think they could have just stuck with the Nero stuff and then, you know, made the Dante part DLC or something. But that's not the game we're talking about. But yeah, as a series, like, Devil May Cry is sort of... That's what they've done. I mean, between 1 to 2, 3 is like 1... But then 4 is its own thing. The remake was its own thing.
And then 5 is
different because of all the characters. Like, that's just what Devil May Cry as a series is.
Yeah. But apparently...
We didn't know that at that point because there was only 2 of them.
Yeah. So people were expecting them to be like more normal sequels where it's like you set it up in the first one and then the second one, it's just more of the same. With a little bit extra sprinkled on top.
Yeah, and I think that... And I think that people never went back to Devil May Cry 2 because they remembered it, you know, they remember not liking it, so...
They never gave it that second chance.
Yeah, people aren't looking at it through the lens of that's what Devil May Cry became.
Yeah. Yeah. You had mentioned bosses earlier, and I want to talk about bosses because I did enjoy a few of them.
All right, well, then let's talk about the bosses you enjoyed.
I really enjoyed fighting the building, whose name I could not tell you. Like, I don't know the names of them, but I remember where they are. So you fight the building in Dante's third or fourth mission. I really thought that was fun, because it's cool. You're fighting a building. Like, it's just a demon coming out of a building, and you get to fight the building and then its head. And, like, yeah, it wasn't hard, but it was a cool spectacle. Because... Yeah,
those set pieces were sort of what they started doing in the PlayStation 2 era.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure every PlayStation 2 game I own has a set piece like this, where you either are dealing with something big or you're fighting something just massive that just would, in real world, obliterate you.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of cathartic after having played whatever mission it's in, because there's a lot of those, like, tanks. Those tanks are annoying.
Yeah.
But then you get to fight a building, and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm on this building. I'm going to wreck this building's face, because that's a thing.
Yeah, and you're playing Devil May Cry, so, you know, of course you're fighting a building.
Yeah, of course. It makes perfect sense. It's like, what other game are you going to get to fight a building demon? None of them.
Not many at that point.
I also liked the fire demon boss on the oil rig, which is mission 9 for Dante, I think. So
you're the expert, so
you fight him. Let's look it up. Fire, demon, boss, DMC, two. I'm a butcher this. Fury of Taurus. Yep. Mission 8 of Dante's scenario. Basically, he's just a big minotaur with a hammer and he's on fire.
Yes.
But I really like that fight because, like, you have to, like, he makes, like, fire circles around him, and when he hits the hammer against the ground, it shoots out fire. So you have to, like, get around him. And I think that's a neat thing, because for most of the time in Devil May Cry, you can kind of just run up and start hitting things. So there's no real need to worry about spacing.
Yeah, there's not much strategy to them. It's
hey, I'm going to punch you in the face with my sword.
It's hit, 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 hit.
Yep. But with Fury of Taurus, it was like, sometimes you had to actually be thinking about your spacing before you did something. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I always enjoy a boss fight where it's not just, you know, who can outlast the other one. It's, you know, when it relies on strategies.
Yeah.
And a lot of games, even nowadays, don't do that. It's like, you hit them until they're dead. It's like, Dark Souls does it, and that's pretty much it.
Well, to be fair, Dark Souls did it first. And then the last boss I really like is the very final boss. So it's Agrosax, the Despair Embodied. So he's like a big flaming angel demon. And that felt really cool because he's this like final boss. And he can take you out in just like a couple of hits. But you
I don't remember I don't remember anything about that fighting it myself, but I do remember watching you on that stream and how hard of a time you were having with that. Or am I thinking of something else?
No, you're thinking the only two bosses three bosses I had a hard time with were Mundus at the end of DMC1, Agrosax at the end of DMC2, and Virgil at the end of DMC5.
Okay, so then it is the one from... Then it is this one that I'm thinking of. Yeah, that thing is cool as hell.
Yeah. Its first form, the Chaos form, is the fact that it combines all the bosses that were in the game, plus a couple from Devil May Cry 1, is a cool touch. Because it has Phantom's Head, Griffin's Head, the head from the building, Fury of Taurus' hammer, the squid boss's squid arms.
Yep.
And there was one other thing. I think the monkey's arm. But it like all brought it together, and you have to kill each part before you can kill it. And I think that's a cool like touch. And then it turns into the flaming angel, who is like hard but oddly satisfying to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. And, you know, like you said earlier, you do have that difficulty. Like, the difficult stuff is in here. It's just that, you know, you can kind of breeze through most of this game.
Yeah.
So when the hard stuff comes, that's a big difficulty spike.
And we haven't even talked about Lucia's stuff yet. Mostly because most of her bosses are just Dante's bosses. Just in different locations.
Well, yeah.
She
the Capcom conundrum.
Yeah, it's true. She does have three bosses of her own. One is a fish, which is probably the worst boss in the game, because you fight him underwater, and you know swimming mechanics.
Yeah, always bad.
Always bad.
Especially back then.
But her two final missions are against Possessed Arius and Mutated Arius. And Mutated Arius, that fight kind of sucks. But the Possessed version is very cool. He has like a bunch of powers. I think they're mostly based around lightning. But you can like use her devil trigger to get around it. And it's really satisfying to know that this guy has put her through hell and she gets to murder him twice. It's very satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, the game is... I like it. It's not my favorite anymore, because I do actually enjoy the remake a lot, and I like 5 a lot as well. But when the original trilogy was the only thing that we had, 2 was my favorite one. I thought, yeah, just mostly because of the accessibility and again, the stuff that you want is there. It's just not there in, you know, it's not there as much as it is with the other two of the original trilogy. But, those 1 and 3 are not games for everyone. They're for a very specific type of person, and that type of person is going to love those games. But 2 is much more accessible to a broader audience.
Yeah, more people can get into 2 and be like, oh, hey, I can kind of do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's still got all the trappings of Devil May Cry. It has, you know, Dante's beautiful face and, you know, his luxurious hair and his cool jacket and his guns and his swords and
his sexy sidekick that he always seems to have for some reason.
And his sexy it's a really cool, really fun game that didn't get the recognition it deserved because it wasn't as cool as its predecessor.
Yep. Wasn't as cool as its dad, so it didn't get the love it deserved.
Like my kids.
Sure. Let's just throw in a dig about your kids. One thing that does sort of bother me is if you've played 5, which I know you have, but I mean, like, if anyone's played 5, at the beginning they give you like a rundown of the timeline, and until 5 came out, for the longest time, the accepted timeline was 3-1-4-2. So 2 was the last game in the series,
mm-hmm.
and so Dante was in hell. That's just where the series was sitting. And so when 5 came out and they released the new timeline, it's now 3-1-2-4-5. And
okay.
So we never get a concrete answer on how Dante get out of hell? Magic?
All they
needed to do was just a throwaway line in 5. Just have Nero or Morrison at the beginning in the flashback scene. Just have him be like, how'd you get out of hell, by the way? And have Dante be like, magic goat demons or something.
Yeah. And as far as criticisms go, that's a very small one.
Yeah. It's a timeline change that I was not on board with, is all.
Yeah, they Legend of Zelda'd it, and that's a valid criticism, but if that's the worst you can muster up, then I would say we're talking about a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely better than other games of its era that I've played, like, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, up there, this is contemporary with the God of War games, which were, you know, pinnacle PlayStation 2 era games.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're being compared to, like, if you're up on that level, then there's not really much to complain about.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, people still find plenty to complain about.
Oh, yeah. I bet you got some people who were complaining about this.
I have just the longest review I could find. So I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's 1, 2, 3. That third paragraph is huge. It's 4 paragraphs, but it's really 5 paragraphs. They just went a little overboard on the third one. So I'm going to read some bits. So here you go. If you ever look up a list of most disappointing game sequels, DMC2 is bound to be featured on there. DMC2 is undoubtedly the worst game in the franchise. I bet he said the same thing about the remake.
yeah, probably.
Which we're going to get to when I find bad reviews on it. It's obvious that whoever was originally put in charge of development had absolutely no clue what made the original great, and despite Itsuno coming in at the end of development in an attempt to make it salvageable, it ultimately didn't save the game, and it almost killed the series. That, to me, feels like one of the complaints I hear about Scholar of the First Sin is that Miyazaki came in to try and fix it, and it still didn't help. And that feels like the same complaint, just for a different series.
Yeah, well, I mean, video game players are a hard group to please.
This is true.
If you change it too much, people are mad. If you don't change it enough, people are mad. But yeah, almost ruining the series is a bit of an overstatement there.
Yeah, like, it very clearly didn't even come close, because 3 came out like 2 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling that people like me, who just sort of were casually playing games at that point in time, you know, played through Devil May Cry and went, "Oh, that was pretty good," and then didn't really think about it again.
Yeah. So this person goes on to complain about the story and the fact that, so in DMC1, it's a lot of jokes. However, there's one big change added that sets it apart from the original. It's not fun. For as schmaltzy as DMC1 got, that's the level of lovable camp to it that made it so enjoyable. Dante was a bit of a smartass, cracking jokes at the bosses and just looking like he was having fun with it all. Dante in this game is as flaccid, I almost said flagged, as soggy cardboard. He says so little, and what little he does say is not the least bit memorable. Lucia isn't much better, and the villain Arius is such a cliche, inconsequential, forgettable villain. Okay, first of all, Dante just murdered his brother again.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know that at the time, that it was his brother, but this review was written after DMC3 came out.
Yeah.
So you know he's just murdered his brother for a second time. He's probably not going to be cracking jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a Devil May Cry lore expert, but everything you're saying makes this stuff make sense. Like, yeah, he's not going to be as much of a smartass because of that. You know, he's more powerful. Yeah, the whole thing makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And while Lucia doesn't say much and she doesn't bring a lot to the table, she's a new character. They weren't trying to overwhelm you. Like, when Trish is introduced in the original, the first thing she does is try to kill Dante with a motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
Lucia is the only female lead who doesn't try to kill Dante. With the exception of Kat in the remake, it's just her.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe back off Lucia a little bit. She's a good girl. Good girl. Arius, on the other hand, I literally had to look up his name, and I have the review in front of me to read. So, yeah, that makes sense. But Agrosax, the actual bad guy, is not forgettable. I remember him. I remember that name. I didn't look that one up. But, like, so what's worse than a boring story? Boring gameplay. So, structurally, it's identical to the first game. Level, fight enemies, beat the boss. However, gone is the challenge and complexity of DMC1, and what we are left with is an absurdly easy, watered-down imitator. This paragraph is really long. You don't want to hear it all.
Yeah.
The main points are the AI is bad, and the boss fights kind of suck, and you can just keep wailing on them to raise your ranks.
Yeah. So it's a Devil May Cry game.
Yeah. You can be just as stylish in this game. If you want to. It's all there. You just have to figure out how to do it. And then here are two professional reviews. Like, from people who work at Metacritic. They're both only one line. First one. The most monumental loss is style. Oh, you're nice. Thanks. And then the second one. Glaring deficiencies, such as the redundant environments, weak camera system, and most importantly, a severe lack of challenge. Okay. You guys complained about challenge in the first one. The camera hasn't changed. And the environments are a city, a building, and underwater.
Yeah, I can't think of a good camera in a PlayStation 2 game. Like, that's not something anyone should be complaining about.
Actually, I can think of one, but it didn't come out until after DMC 2. So, I'm not gonna give them shit about that. I'm just going to let them slide on that one.
Yeah.
But, like, that seems like a lot of complaining about things you didn't complain about in the last one.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's how it goes.
That is, in fact, how it goes.
People have expectations, and if it's not up to their expectations, then it's not going to be good enough, no matter how actually good it is.
Sounds right to me.
All right, well, I think that's just about going to wrap up Devil May Cry 2.
Yeah, I think that's going to cover it
for this one. So, what are we going to... What are you going to plug today?
Plug? Like, oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
For our stuff. I play games on Twitch on the weekends sometimes. So go ahead and follow me over at twitch.tv/Xeno_Nox. It will probably be a link in the description. I don't know, maybe. Also follow me on Twitter, @XenoNox. I say weird things and follow a lot of weird people. Good times.
All right, and I have another podcast. It's called Jack Billings Presents Me and My Neighbor Michael. You can find that anywhere you get podcasts. I am on Twitter @myneighbormich1. I have a terrible Twitter handle because I did not think that I was going to be using Twitter.
Well, welcome to the Twitter.
Oh.
Twitterverse.
I still don't use it very often. All right, and other than that, our theme song was done by Kyle Check of the band Devil's Advocate. Check them out, facebook.com/Devil's Advocate Metal.
Be sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts, obviously, because you're already doing that if you're listening to this. But be sure to check us out on our social media and stuff. What are we doing next week, yeah. Michael? Or next time, Michael?
We are going to be doing Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest.
Ah, excellent.
All right.
Churches, not chicken.
Not chicken.
Churches, not chicken.
See you next time.
See you on the next one.